thank you so much, River Park, for inviting the Friendship Group to lead this service. We love doing it. Today, we will be doing things a little different than in past years. Our group has had to learn how to adapt and improvise in so many ways over the last several years. We lost our musical accompaniment. Some of us have mobility issues. We have fewer volunteers. And we were faced with how to keep meeting during COVID restrictions. But life is about adapting, isn't it? So you'll see a small glimpse of how we've adapted in a typical friendship meeting today during the service, including an interactive friendship Bible lesson, prayer, song, and social time, and good snacks, of course. So we will now sing with worship videos. We love to sing, don't we, friendship? Yes, we do, yeah. So, in keeping with that spirit, please join us in singing In Christ Alone.
In Christ alone, who Yeah, why don't you have a seat? At this time, I'd like to invite the Sunday school children to go to Sunday school and enjoy your worship time down there. So after about a half hour of singing songs from videos, we have a time of studying God's Word with Bible lessons, or the curriculum we use is from Friendship Ministries, and the lesson that we're going to have today. So we're actually going to do a friendship lesson with you now, which means it's a little interactive too, people. So you all got little paddles, I think, with thumbs up and thumbs down. If you didn't get one and you see a video that has a thumbs up or down, just use what God gave you as your thumb like this, okay? So, our lesson today is from a series called, I jumped the gun already. This is so much fun, man. Okay. It's Why Pain is the Lesson Series, Living with Pain is the Lesson Series, and there are six topics in this lesson. I think they're up here, yes, they are. So the first one is Everyone Hurts, Why Pain, Why God, and then starts the hope. God is with us, together, not alone, we have hope. And our lesson today will focus on the second one, and that is Why Pain. The scripture passages we will be focusing on are from John 9, verse 1 to 7, and Romans 8. And the main idea we will be exploring is the reason we suffer is often mysterious to us, but not to God. And together we'll be able to tell how Jesus answered the disciples' questions about why the blind man was healed, and why the blind man was born blind. Together, we will be assured that even though we don't understand our pain and suffering, we trust that God is in control. And finally, together, we will give praise that God is at work even during our pain. So the Bible teaches us that God allows suffering for many reasons, among others, to bring about some greater good. That's from Genesis 50. To refine the sufferer for God's glory, from Isaiah 48, to teach his will, from Psalm 119, to teach perseverance, from James 1, and to teach the sufferer to rely on God's grace alone, from 2 Corinthians 12. In the case of this lesson, we'll be looking at the first point, to bring about some greater good, or so that the works of God will be displayed in us. Now, before we start our videos, I'd like to explain how this works. During the video, you'll be asked some questions. You'll see a thumbs up or a thumbs down symbol. Now, those paddles that we distributed for you were not so you could just have them in your hands. They're for you to show me whether you believe you agree with it or whether you disagree with it. And again, if you don't have a paddle, just use your thumbs. Let's try it out just to make sure you understand the concept. Today is Saturday, right? No, it's not. Thumbs down. Great. And we love chocolate. Oh, yeah. Look at all the... Do I see any thumbs down? Well, I know one or two people. And ice cream is favorite. Okay, I think you got the concept. So we're going to look at a first video. It's called Why Pain? Now, the video doesn't stop, but there'll be some questions about midway through where you'll see hear the question, and you'll see a thumb up or a thumb down. So just react with your thumbs, and we'll see how this goes.
What's the first question children ask once they learn to talk? It's, why?
Why do we have to wait so long to eat?
Why can't we just eat?
It's time to eat.
Why do we have to sit at the kids' table?
Do I look like a kid?
The list of why questions children come up with can seem endless to adults. Why do mosquitoes bite me? Why do I have to be polite? Why did I get a timeout? Why are we eating broccoli? Why do I have to go to school? Why? We don't really ever stop asking why, even when we grow up. Today's session is all about a big why question many people ask. Why pain? Why do we hurt? Have you ever asked why about your suffering? Is pain good for us, like broccoli? Is pain meant to help us learn? Is pain punishment for some wrong we've done? Is the purpose of pain to introduce others to Jesus somehow? Or is it for no other reason than that Adam and Eve disobeyed God in the garden? Scientists say kids ask why in order to get at the truth. In today's session, we are doing the same thing, and we are looking in the Bible to discover the truth.
Okay, you got that pretty good. So now we have an understanding of what pain is and maybe an idea of why we experience pain. So we're going to go to a second video. Again, there's a spot for congregational participation. Sometimes it's a thumbs up and sometimes it's a thumbs down. So I think there's also some questions and we'll get you to answer those questions. We'll have a microphone on this side here, and maybe Francine, if you could be down this side. And then if you would like to answer the question, just raise your hand and somebody will bring a mic to you.
As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him,
"Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?"
Okay, so the first question is the thumbs up or down. Have you ever wondered if pain is your own fault? So let's name an example of things that we could do that would bring us pain. So let's have somebody from this side answer that. What could we do that might bring us pain? Somebody want to answer that? Audience participation. Sorry, congregational participation.
Very simple. Stick your hand in a flame and it will hurt.
Okay, that's a good one. Somebody from this side? Sean.
Disrespect.
Sorry, say that again.
Disrespect, so if you disrespect a family member, you could...
That'll bring pain. Okay, let's have a look at the last one. Name some examples when pain comes and you don't know why. Maybe somebody on this side. Sometimes pain comes and you don't know why. Somebody want to answer that? I know this is not usual for our church, folks. Somebody has an answer for that, right?
Illnesses.
How about on this side? Right, I think behind you there. Okay.
Heartache?
Okay, as in a heart attack? Okay. All of those things bring pain. We don't always know why. So let's go to the second part of this video.
"Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world.
After saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes.
Go,
he told him.
Wash in the pool of Siloam.
This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing.
Okay. What did Jesus call himself? Somebody want to answer that? Go ahead, Sean.
Light.
The light of the world, right. What happened when Jesus put mud on the eyes of the blind man? Somebody over here, somebody knows the answer to that. Sorry, can you raise your hand so that we can get the mic to you? I just heard somebody say something. He could see again, right, okay. He could see again. He went and washed his eyes in the pool of Siloam, and all of a sudden he could see again. Thumbs up. Do you think he was afraid? Thumbs up or down? Was he afraid? I see a mixture. Probably not. Was he happy? Absolutely. Was he sad? No, he wasn't. Do you think he was surprised? He probably was very surprised. So we know from our Bible lesson that the man wasn't punished because of any sin that he or anyone else had committed. He was born blind so that the works of God might be displayed in him. We've got a few more pictures to help us understand pain. What's that look like? Somebody reaching out on the stove. Anybody ever done that here? Yeah. Was it painful? Oh, yeah. Did you get in trouble with mom and dad? Oh, yeah. Next one. What's that look like?
Fire.
Fire. Is that painful or is it just nice to enjoy? Why would it be painful? You pick up the stick while it's burning, right? Yeah. Walking into it, that's not a good idea either. Next one. What's that look like? Right, and there's a little baby. What do you think? What, 102? Whoop. Okay. What do you think that 102 is? Is that a good temperature for a baby? No, that might be painful. Here's another one. So somebody's cutting an apple, and they did what? They cut their finger. Is that painful? Absolutely. So those are things that are signals that something's wrong. So they warn us that we have to do something. It could mean that we go see a doctor, or it means that maybe we need some medication to stop the condition or the pain, or maybe mom and dad just need to get a Band-Aid, or maybe your partner needs to get a Band-Aid for you because if I get hurt, I'm kind of a baby, so, you know, then I need help. But we can see that not all pain is so easy to figure out. We don't know why some people get terrible diseases or why they get into car accidents. We don't know why there's divorce, and we don't know why there's loneliness and starvation in the world. Our comfort comes from knowing that God knows why these things happen, and that can give us peace. Romans 8, verse 28 can be a huge comfort for us. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those that love him. Pain and suffering are part of life, and it's often out of our control. How we react to pain and suffering is in our control, and we are in the hands of Jesus. Where's Francine? Over there. Did you want to announce the other stuff, or you want me to just go ahead and do it? Me? I can do it? Okay. So that's the Bible lesson. So every week we have a Bible lesson. And then oftentimes we'll have a little play that we do, some acting as well. So we're going to now have a little play that's going to show the same thing that we just heard in the story. And then Friendship is going to sign a song called I Can Only Imagine. Okay? While that's happening, we're going to sing a song, and it's another music video, and I'll tell you what it is, Refiner's Fire. So you can stay seated for Refiner's Fire while the Friendship group comes on up.
As Jesus went along,
okay, we can go up. Jesus.
He saw a man who was blind. He had been blind since he was born.
Rabbi who? Sin.
Can you read this?
Was this man born blind because he sinned?
In your dead, his present sin.
It is not because this man sinned. It isn't because his parents sinned.
I don't get it.
Why is this poor suffering deaf?
He was born blind so that God's power could be shown by what's going to happen.
Sounds like something exciting to go.
Well, it's still day. We must do the works of the one who sent me. Night is coming. Then no one can work while I am in the world. I am the light of the world.
Something going to happen. Wondered what?
Which one?
Maybe.
Maybe it has something to do with Jesus calling himself the light of the world.
After Jesus said this, he spit on the ground. He made some mud with the spit. Then put the mud on the man's eyes.
Go wash in the pool of Siloam.
So this man went and washed, and he came home able to see.
When I walk by your side, I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in all of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? To my knees or will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. When that day comes, when I find myself standing inside, I can only imagine when all I will do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your
the offering. Do you want a mic?
So we're going to take the offering now. There will be two offerings this morning. One is for the church budget, and the second one is for Friendship Ministries Canada. Friendship Ministries believes that the body of Christ is made stronger when all people, with and without disabilities, love and serve God together. This goal is to help people with disabilities find faith, friends, and belonging. Friendship Ministries Canada provides services and resources, or resource materials, to groups in Canada, encouraging the development of one-on-one personal and meaningful relationships. The friendship group at River Park is using the materials they develop, or not they, but Friendship Ministries develops, to create and enhance our own Bible study time. The offering this morning will, among other things, enable Friendship Canada to continue to develop new resources. During the offering, there will be a slideshow. Some of our groups passed, so we do this every year, so enjoy the slideshow, and you can come on up as you feel.
My birthday, I think, was the first one that got to wear the crown. I was so blessed. Thank you, Francine. Okay, you can get rid of that picture now. Okay. So let's continue along the lines of the friendship lesson that we just participated in. Why pain? We learn that sometimes we experience pain so that the glory of God might be displayed in us. However, there are other reasons why we experience pain. So I wrote a message that explores another reason for why pain. What's that look like? What is it? A rock. All right, next one. What about that? Sean? Crystal, how about the next one? What's that look like?
A diamond.
Do you know that all three of those were diamonds? The first two were rough diamonds. The first one was actually a small diamond that would be shaped into a ring that you might have. But the second one was the biggest diamond that was ever found. It's worth noting that the last diamond here, this is called the Millennium Diamond, and it comes in and weighs in at 203.4 carats. Carats doesn't mean much to you, so I'll tell you that that is translates to about 40 grams. Well, carats mean something to you if you go and buy in a diamond. Now, it started out as a rough diamond of about 777 carats, which is 155 grams. That means they cut away 3/4 of that rough diamond to shape into this beautiful, brilliant diamond. And that's a thing to remember. The rough diamond got shaped down. So the title of this part of the message is Diamonds in the Rough. Right at the beginning of this message, I'm going to hit you with my first point, and that is that we all are diamonds in the rough. In Isaiah 48, verse 10 and 11, the Lord says through Isaiah, he's prophesying to the people of Israel about why they are suffering. He says, "See, I have refined you, though not of as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction for my own sake. I will not yield my glory to anyone else." I think the passage is telling the Israelites that they messed up. You lost sight of me. You lost sight of what I asked you to do. And your suffering you are experiencing will refine you for my glory. God is shaping us, refining us, and polishing us for his purposes. He has a plan in mind for us. We just may not know what it is yet. And that brings me directly to my second point, and that is God loves you. He loves all of us. God made mankind in his image, and part of that image, he gave us a free will, and we exercised that free will pretty quickly and did exactly what God told us not to do. We ate from the tree, and we threw Adam, we sinned. However, God loved us so much already then, he promised a Savior to the world, a Savior who would redeem not only mankind, but all of creation, his Son, Jesus. And it is through Jesus' death on the cross that we are made pure, brilliant diamonds, reflecting his love and light. Now, I have another purpose for starting at creation as well. The first words in the Bible are, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And that includes things under the earth. We often see beautiful things above the earth, but there's beauty under the earth. As a child, I was fascinated with rocks, whether they were dug up on a beach or in the water. I loved the shapes, the colors, and I really liked it when I broke open a rock and there was a fossil inside. I never did much with that fascination until about 2 years ago, I joined a lapidary club. Now, for those of you who may not know what lapidary is, it's the art of cutting rocks, shaping them often, and then polishing them. And you'll frequently find polished stones in jewelry. How many of you have or have seen a tiger's eye ring or a pendant? Do you know that that starts off as a rock? It's a rock that somebody cut, shaped, and polished, and put it on a ring or an pendant. It was at the lapidary club that I rekindled my fascination with rocks and began cutting them up, finding wonderful patterns, colors and shapes, minerals and gems galore. For the younger crowd, galore means a lot of, an abundance of. It's an old word, but I like using old words because I'm an old guy. Let's have a look at a few pictures to see what I mean. So this is the Antelope Canyon in Arizona. Beautiful, eh? Next slide. This is the Luray Caverns in Virginia. Also really beautiful, but that's kind of big. We can't really use that in lapidary. So let's look at the next slide. This is called malachite, and that's rough malachite. Next. This is polished malachite. Just a beautiful, beautiful rock. Next. These are really, they look ugly like this. They are nodules, agate nodules from Botswana, and the next slide shows us a polished agate. It's just gorgeous. The next slide is really what fascinated me as a kid. These are rocks on the beach. And since I often find life lessons in things I'm interested in, this isn't any different. I'm going to talk about how rocks can be transformed into things of beauty, valued by others, and become gems of great value. Another analogy for you. Analogies are pictures of things that they represent. They may represent something else. So let's see how this plays out. Those beach rocks often look like they're polished while they're laying on the beach. But they look like that today, but they didn't start out that way. Some rocks, it may have taken a few years, some it may have taken a few hundred years, and some rocks it might have taken even longer. Just remember, however you believe they came about, the important thing is, in the beginning, God created. Because of my fascination with rocks, I bought a few rock tumblers. Now, rock tumblers speed up the process that smooths these rocks, as we see in this slide. The tumbler gets filled with the rocks, the water, some grit, and that goes through four or five cycles for a period of 4 to 6 weeks on a tumbler that rotates, and it chews away and it eats away at all the rough edges, and it polishes them. By the time you're done, you'll have some nice, beautiful, polished rocks. However, the process I find most interesting and exciting is cutting up of rocks to find out what's inside and then making something from that rock. So one of my biggest finds is a rather large rock that you'll see behind me, I hope. Yes? Kind of an ugly rock. I bought it at the Rock and Lapidary Club at the gem show. It weighs about 15 pounds. I carted it about a half a kilometer. By the time I got to my car, it felt like it weighed 50 pounds. And you might think, Chris, why on earth would you carry an ugly rock like that that looks like it belongs in your garden all the way to your car? Well, the answer is because of the possibility, and the possibility of what it might look like inside. I was told it was a septarian nodule, and also called a dragon's egg, and who wouldn't want to cut open a dragon's egg to find out what's inside? So I bought it and carted it home. By the time you see this rock, I've already cut it a few pieces off it, and here's why I bought the rock. That was what was inside. I was not disappointed. I've made several cabochons. Now, cabochons are the gemstone that's cut and polished from a rock. And one of them I'm wearing now. I'm wearing a bolo tie, and it took about 9 hours to cut and polish. This next picture is a slide of four pieces that were cut from one of the septarian slabs. Three of them are rough, and the other one is that bolo tie. Quite a difference between the rough and the polished. So you may think that's all, it's very nice, Chris, but what has that got to do with us? Where is the analogy? Well, I'm glad you asked. This brings me to my third point. Good sermon always has 3 points, right? If life was easy, I'd have no message for you. However, life is not always easy. We hit rough spots. And sometimes those rough spots feel like we're in the middle of a hurricane. How we get through those rough spots is the analogy. How we use the gifts that God has given us, how we react and learn from the rough spots is how we are refined, how we are polished. We know that God created us in His image, and He was pleased with His creation. In Genesis 1, verse 31, we read, God saw all that He made, and it was very good. We were very good. When we fell into sin, that image was tarnished. We could no longer reflect God's image perfectly as He created us. Since then, we've been fighting with our sinful nature to do God's will as He created us. Our thoughts, our skills, our talents are tainted by our sinful nature. We do as we see fit to do, and that gets us into trouble. And often we experience hardships, though sometimes not of our own doing, but of our collective sinfulness. I believe God uses these hardships to help steer us to where He wants us to go. to do what he wants us to do. The Bible is full of people who experienced hardship through their lives. God led them to be great leaders or of people or dedicated missionaries for his purposes. Moses started life as a refugee in Egypt, sent sailing by his mother so he wouldn't be killed and he would get a better life. And that's exactly what happened. He was found by Pharaoh's daughter and lived the first few years of his life as a prince in the Pharaoh's palace. But life was not all roses for Moses. He soon became a refugee again, fleeing for his life. At the age of 40, he became a shepherd in a desert country far away from Egypt. Then at the age of 40, Moses came upon a burning bush in the middle of nowhere. He'd gone from a life of luxury in living to the desert, tending sheep and raising a family, when God came to him in the burning bush. He said, "Moses, I've got a job for you to do. I hear the cries of my people and Israel, and I'm sending you to free them." God was shaping and polishing Moses so that he would lead the Israelites out of Egypt. Moses wasn't the same man he was when he fled Egypt to save his life. Throughout Moses' life, God was using the hardships in Moses that Moses experienced to build up him as a spiritual leader for the nation of Israel. He still made a lot of mistakes, but every time God forgave him. He wasn't a diamond from the start. He was burnished and polished by God to do the job that he had set out for him to do. God knew, even when Moses didn't, that Moses had the gifts he needed to do God's work. God works for those who love him, already in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, we find stories of Stephen, Peter, Paul, and many more who were persecuted because they loved Jesus and they spread the good news. But God had a greater purpose for them, and he shaped and refined them so that they withstood their oppressors and were able to serve God until the end of their lives. Our desire is to go one way, our way. But when our way doesn't match up with God's plans, he works in us, polishing us to do his will. Now, the polishing isn't always easy. Being a Christian often means that we are at odds with the world. Some of us may not have become Christians until later on in life and experienced many hardships. Remember, God works for the good of those who love him, Romans 8. I believe God uses the circumstances that we find ourselves in to form us into better versions of ourselves. Going back to how we were created in God's image, he built into us abilities, talents, intelligence, creativity, and a whole lot more. I believe his desire of us is to use these abilities for his glory and the benefit of the people around us. When we don't, God steers us in the right direction, and over time, he polishes us into the person he wants us to be, a diamond reflecting his love. In the Bible, we often read that God appears to or talks to people, Moses, Samuel, Elijah, Stephen, Paul, and many more. I think we often forget that God still talks to us today, maybe not audibly that one can hear him, but God sent his Holy Spirit to be with us, and that Holy Spirit, while ever present, does tap us on the shoulder a little more forcefully once in a while. Life is not often easy. We run into roadblocks, illness, death, job insecurity, addictions, mental health issues, fires, floods, storms, wars, and the list goes on and on. But remember what it says in Romans 8, verse 28. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. I'm going to leave you with two more passages. In Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14, we read, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it, but small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." That sounds pretty daunting, but Jesus gives us this comforting statement in Matthew 11, verse 29 and 30, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." And all these things, remember, something else. When we fall or fail, God still loves us. In the words of a country song by George Strait, fathers don't just love their children every now and then. It's love without end. Amen. Jesus died for you, for me. He died for all of us. His love is never ending. When God calls, when the Spirit whispers in your ear or touches your heart, be ready to listen. I have been tremendously blessed, and many of my friendship family is sitting with me in the front of the sanctuary. Looking back over my life, I can see that God has been shaping and polishing me for His purposes. I'm not always sure what He wants me to be doing, but I do know God is in charge, polishing me. He's also polishing you for what's to come, life with Him in heaven, when we will no longer be diamonds in the rough, but pure, brilliant diamonds. Remember, a diamond has no light of its own. It can only reflect light. In this case, the light of Jesus. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us so much that even when we trip and fall, you pick us up and forgive us. Thank you that you find us worthy of your love, so worthy that you sent your Son Jesus to die on the cross so that we might be in heaven with you. While we don't deserve your love, Jesus paid the price for our sinfulness. Thank you. While it's often hard to say thank you in the middle of our hardships and sorrows, we want to thank you for holding us in your hands and carrying us through our pain. Often that may be the only hope that we have, the knowledge that through all of this, you are present in our lives. Thank you. Thank you for the friendship ministry, not only here at River Park Church, but throughout Canada, the United States, and many countries around the world. In the friendship group, we find fellowship, friendship, inclusion, love, and support. You help us to be better versions of ourselves. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, Amen. So just before we close our service, Francine is going to come up, and she has a couple of words to share about friendship, and then I'll let you know what's going to happen for the last 5 minutes.
Thank you, Chris. I was thinking I should say you rock, but I'm not sure. That's probably, somebody got it, right? All right. So as we close today's service, I'd like to share some fun facts about our friendship group. Many of you know that the River Park Friendship Ministry started here in 1987. And we've had up to 60 people in our group. Today we're a group of 31 people. And we meet every Thursday night. But here is the interesting facts. Our friends and mentors alike have been part of this group for a very, very long time. Of our 31 members, 6 of us have attended for more than 15 years. 4 of us have attended faithfully for more than 25 years. Another 4 of us have attended for more than 30 years. And 5 of us have attended for more than 35 years. The same group. Yeah, that is incredible. Why do we do it? Why do we love attending friendship every week? Well, here's a few reasons that have been mentioned in our group. I've been polling people to ask them. And here are the things that people say. We're a community. We share good times and tough times together. There's unconditional acceptance. We love to laugh together and joke around. We're a little bit goofy, and we have a lot of fun, don't we? We have a lot of fun. And we're so thankful for how God has blessed the friendship group over these many, many years. And we want to thank you, River Park, for being part of that. So thank you. Thank you.